How are you doing on your homework? Do you remember that you had homework this last week?
Yeah.
You remembered? Remember that you were to be a certain kind of dispenser? What kind of dispenser was that? Good! You at least remembered a blessing dispenser. And I gave you those little notes, and I heard from at least one person who said they got a note, and I know I got one. So at least some of you did a little of that to be a blessing. And I know I saw lots of blessings going on as those of you who helped with the homeless came and worked and just had a great time blessing them and being blessed by them. This was a really great group of people. They were very encouraging to one another. And especially, I think a great example of the ways that they were encouraging to one another was during a talent show that we had on Friday night. There weren't too many there, but I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of this talent show that we had. Some of them were very good, like this man. He had a great voice and could sing well. Who didn't quite sing as well. And then this lady that was so shy that she sang with her back to the congregation. She was there and she was singing. But they encouraged her. She almost turned almost.
Please.
Finally she turned it around. And then this one, this is supposed to be He Lives.
He's always near. He wants to be impossible no longer far away. You ask me how I know He lives, He lives.
But you know what? She got the biggest round of applause, as great a round of applause as the one who really had, or the three who had great talent. And they were so encouraging to each other. And I was especially glad that this woman got some encouragement, because she was quite encouraging to me, actually, during this week. I tried to be a blessing dispenser. I tried to go there every day and have breakfast with them and eat with them and talk with them and have supper and be there in the evening and to give some blessings. But, you know, every time I was trying to give blessings, it seems like they just blessed me. And I thought, I think I'm getting more blessings out of this than I'm giving. But especially this woman, one morning, I was having breakfast with her and about three others. And I asked them, you know, how did you sleep? And they were telling me different things. Well, the conversation got off into dreams. And that particular night, I had one of those reoccurring dreams. I woke up two or three times during the night with the same silly dream. And this woman interpreted my dream in such a way that it just encouraged me and has given me hope all week. Aren't you a little curious about what my dream was? Would you like to hear? Yeah, all right. Well, I think it had to do something with this sermon series, because one of the things that I like to do on my bucket list, you know, is take a hot air balloon ride. I don't want to skydive, but I think it'd be fun to be in a hot air balloon. I've not done that. Well, I think this dream I had a little something to do with that, because I was riding around on it wasn't a hot air balloon, but it was more like one of those blow-up toys that you play with in the pool, you know. And it was a horse. But it was inflated with helium and had a little valve on it so that you could turn it one way and it'd go way up in the sky, and you could turn it another way and it'd come down. Well, I was having a good time on this horse going all around, and particularly I was outside some of the times, but most of the time I was in here, in this room, and I was way up in the ceiling there, riding around on this horse. It's a great view from way up there. And actually, I was helping Paul DiNapoli change light bulbs. He was on a ladder, but I would let the helium out, and I would come down, and I would get the light bulb, and then I would gallop up there, and I would give him the light bulb, you know, and I did that several times. I woke up, and guess what this horse's name was? Fu Manchu! You got it! So I didn't last 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I last several seconds, maybe several minutes, on a balloon named Fu Manchu. You know. Well, I told this story to them, and I told them what his name was, and they all got it. If you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks and you don't get the joke about Fu Manchu, you will in just a minute. But they all did. They all knew the song, and so this is what she said. She said, because I told them that this was sermon series on Live Like You're Dying, we talked a little bit about the song, and she said, you know, I think that dream is a sign that you're going to reach the heights this Sunday, and you're going to turn on some lights for your congregation. Is that great or what? You're going to turn on some lights for your congregation. I just thought that was good because, you know what, we already know all this stuff that I'm preaching. And we already know all this stuff that's in that song. But somehow we know it in the dark. And we just need a light to come on and say, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that I am dying. I know my days are limited, that we all have a certain number of days I know that, but I'm gonna turn on that light and live like I'm dying, like I only have a few days. I mean, I'm going to get my priorities straight, and I'm not gonna waste any of the precious moments that I have on being angry and upset about little unimportant things. I'm gonna remember that the light's gonna come on, and I'm gonna say, that's not worth being upset about. And I'm going to have that light come on and say, I'm going to spend my time on things that have eternal significance. The light's going to come on. The light's going to come on for each of you in your own way on this day or another day as you realize the importance of this song and the message that it brings. As you know, if you've not been here and you don't know this song, a few years ago it won some Grammys. It's Live Like You're Dying by Tim McGraw. And it's a story of a man who in his early 40s was given the news that he was dying. And then they asked, well, what if this is really the real end? What would you do? And he said this, as we hear this chorus again, you can sing along if you want.
I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name for you, man, and I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness, I said to dying, and he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like.
And he said, someday I hope you get a chance to live like you're dying. Because when you live like you're dying, all those other unimportant things just kind of fade away, and you concentrate on the really important things in life. Now, I had some help on this sermon series this week, and some of you I know saw this program with Diane Sawyer. How many of you saw Diane Sawyer this week? All right, a few of you. It wasn't that a great show. It was a great show. Oh, first I was going to tell you, it's like that movie that we saw. You know, life is short, and we got to squeeze all that we have out of that life and embrace it, because life is short. Now, about Diane Sawyer, it was this show about a professor. Actually, it's a professor of computer science. His name is Randy Pausch. And he was a real live example of this song because he's in his 40s. Actually, I think he's 47, but he got the news that he was dying. And this is, I found on the, you gotta scoot over here a minute. I found on the internet a show, but I need to go to my media player and so that you can do this. I thought it was worth the time here. Oh, did we? Here it is. I thought it was worth the time. It worked this morning. I went over and over and over this in practice this morning. It worked exactly right. What am I doing wrong here? I don't know. Let me. Shoot. Yep. Let me try it again. Well, all right. We'll go back. I'm so disappointed. It was such a great... Huh? Well, I didn't want to show the whole last lecture. This is what I've got. Well, I'll just have to tell you about it. I don't know why it didn't work. It worked this morning. Anyway, he is a great, it was so great because he's 47 years old and he has these wonderful kids and he's just had this life that he believes that you need to live each moment. Oh, it was just wonderful. And he did get to go play with the Pittsburgh Steelers and he went to Disney World. But he said, you know, the things that are really on my bucket list now are those little moments that I call gems of being with my children. And she asked him, she says, well, are you angry? And he said, no, I'm not angry. She says, it's not fair. And he said, it's not that it's not fair. It's unfortunate, but you know, you flip a coin and if you flip a coin and you call heads and it comes up tails, that's just the way life is. And we all are like a dartboard and I got this dart with pancreatic cancer. But he believes in living life fully and he said, in a little bit my family is going to be put off a cliff, and that makes me really sad because I won't be there to catch them. But I could sit around and I could cry or I could use my time making some nets to catch them. And so that's what he's doing. And it's just, his whole attitude was so wonderful. It's just perfect. It was a great sermon illustration. And why it doesn't work, I don't know. Bob saw it at rehearsal. Anyway, it was great. And so hopefully you can go online and go to the last lecture. And it's just, he's actually, it's been written into a book and lots of things have happened. He's just amazing, though. It's very good. But he is a great example of what it means to love deeper. And because that's what we're about, is about loving deeper. Love is the greatest gift that we can give to someone. It's the greatest gift that anyone gives to us as well. It is a wonderful gift that God gave to us when God gave us the gift of love. Love is really extra special, and it's sometimes it's hard to talk about. It's they're like the song said, though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain, like sounding brass and hopeless gain. That the song that we just sang is based on our scripture for today, which is called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And it begins with these words. It says, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, you read the capital letters, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains,
but do not have love,
I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body,
but do not have love,
I am nothing. In other words, we can do all kinds of great things. We can be a great preacher. We can be a tremendous church worker. We can be a big philanthropist and give away lots of money. But, if we do not have love, we are nothing. It's important, you know, to have love and have things be consistent. I was reading some sermons on this, and one I particularly liked was by Maxie Dunham. Do you know who Maxie Dunham is? He used to be the editor of the Upper Room. He's a very good preacher. He was telling about a trip that he went on with a great theologian. And he didn't name the theologian, but it had to be a modern-day theologian. It said that this theologian had taught in several of the big renowned seminaries, had written lots of books and lots of poems and lots of wonderful things. Went on this trip, and they were in Cyprus, and they missed their plane through no fault of their own. You know, it was just one of those things that happened, so they were trying to make other arrangements. It was in kind of an area that was a little bit dangerous, but this theologian just got all upset, and he said, I have never seen such rudeness and such demanding and such arrogance and such irritability and such resentment on the part of anyone as this person during this time that was a little difficult. So happened that Maxie Dunham's two daughters were with them on that trip. And now one of their daughters, one of those daughters is now in seminary. And as she is in seminary, she's required to read some of the books written by this great theologian. And she says, you know, I read them and I try to get something good out of them, but I just can't, because all I can remember is this situation when I saw this theologian just lose it when things were a little rough. And you see, this person had written many important things about love, but the young seminary student just knew that they didn't seem to have the love that they talked about. You know, that's your words need to be consistent with who you are all the rest of the time. And that's what this Randy Pausch, and I'm so sad that you didn't get to really see him and hear him, because you just can sense that he is living what he lectured about. He's personifying his lectures. He has all along told people that they need to make the best out of every moment. And now when things are really tough, he's living what he lectured. And that's important. You know, that we can do all these other things, but if we don't have love, then it all doesn't amount to anything. But love is sometimes difficult to explain and understand, and I can kind of go with this little cartoon from Peanuts with Charlie Brown. Lucy says, you know, I can't understand love. And Charlie Brown says, who does? And she says, well, explain love to me, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown says, you know, I can't explain love. I mean, I can recommend a book or a poem or a painting, but I can't explain love. But Lucy says, well, try, Charlie Brown, try. And Charlie Brown, you know, he wants to do what Lucy wants him to do, whether it's kick a football or what. So he starts out and he starts to try to explain love. And he says, well, let's say I see a beautiful, cute little girl walk by, and Lucy, in her typical Lucy manner, interrupts and says, oh, why does she have to be cute, huh? I mean, why can't someone fall in love with someone with freckles and a big nose? Explain that, Charlie Brown. So he says, oh, yeah, well, maybe you're right. Let's say I see this girl walk by with a great big nose. And Lucy interrupts again and says, I didn't say a great big nose. And then Charlie Brown, in his woe with me kind of thing, he's had enough, and he says, well, not only can you not explain love, you can't even talk about it. You know, it is hard to explain love, because love is so wonderful and so vast and so great and shows itself in so many different ways that you really can't explain love. But the Apostle Paul does a pretty good job in 1 Corinthians 13, our scripture for this day, as he explains, first of all, what love is, then what love is not. Now, this is a list of things that we spent a whole sermon series on one time, and so I know I can't do justice with each one, but what I thought is I'm just going to put the things up there and let you look at them, and maybe the light will turn on for you when you see these again. You know the truth that love is patient and kind. Or I like what the J.B. Phillips translation says. It says, love is slow to lose patience. That's a little bit more attainable, isn't it? You know, I'm going to lose patience, but I'm going to be a little slower about it. And love looks for a way of being constructive. Isn't that a good thing? Annie, as you look up there, Annie, does a light come on with you? Say, yeah, I need to work hard at being a little bit more patient, a little bit more constructive with my criticism, and a little kinder. Did you? Oh, well, you didn't catch it because you didn't see the thing. But in the video, Randy Pausch says, you know, people will eventually show you their good side. You just have to wait a little bit for it. Some people you have to wait longer than others, but they'll eventually show you their good side. Now, that is being patient. We need to be patient. But sometimes we look at the things on the outside and we get upset and we let what else we're looking at just sort of overshadow the really important things. Here's another video by... it's really a Christmas video, but the father is busy with bills while his little daughter is doing something with Christmas wrapping paper, expensive Christmas wrapping paper, and see what happens here.
Stop wasting this. It's expensive.
This is for you, Daddy.
You wasted all of that paper on an empty box.
I blew kisses into it, Daddy.
I blew kisses into it, Daddy. Can we receive the love that is given to us, whether it's Christmas time or Easter time or spring that looks like winter? Can we receive the love that is given to us, or are we a little quick to jump to conclusions. As we look at that list again, love is patient and kind, and love is slow to lose patience and looks for a way of being constructive. Is there anything that lights a light in your brain that says, maybe I better do that? And then he goes on with some things that love is not. And there's a big, long list. I mean, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or insist on its own way. That's only part of the list. Love is not resentful or irritable, or love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Is there anything there that lights a light in your brain? How about irritable? Or envious, when we envy somebody else? That's not what love is. Love is not any of those things. Or like the Message Bible says, you know, love, it does not fly off the handle. Oh, love does not keep a score of sins of others. Or I like this, love does not revel when others grovel. You know, do we keep a score of wrongs? Is there anything there that turns on the light that, oh, maybe this week or this past month you've done? But that's not love. Do we keep a score of wrongs? Are we like this man that says, oh, I hate it when I get into a fight with my wife. She always gets historical. And his friend corrects him and says, you mean hysterical. And he says, no, it's historical. She brings up everything I have ever done wrong in the history of our lives together. I'm afraid I've been there, done that a few times, you know? Bob still can't get over the fact he forgot my 21st birthday, but I'm not bringing it up. No, that's not me. No, no, he's really been forgiven. As we look again, we at this beautiful family that I'm sad you didn't get to see. You know, do you think that Randy is bringing up a whole list of things that his wife has done wrong? I'm sure she did some things wrong. I'm sure he did some things wrong. Do you think she's trying to bring up this list of all the things you did wrong before you die? I want you to know you did all these things wrong. Or with his kids? That's not what they're about. It's not about the things they've done wrong. It's about celebrating the things that they've done right. Those are the nets that are going to catch that family when they fall off the cliff. Those are the things that he is concerned about. You know, and another thing that he said that was so important, he said, I've never seen that anger really helps any situation. So when we look at what love is not, does the light turn on for us, any place there? Love is not all those things, envious, boastful. Love does not keep a list of things that are wrong. Think about it. And then Paul closes with what love does. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But this kind of love is not our kind of light love. This is a love that comes from God. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot love this way on our own power. It's rather by opening ourselves to the love of God that God puts into our hearts. For the scripture also says we love because God first loved us. We can't do it on our own. But as we let God into our lives, then we can love others. For if we love one another, God lives in us. And God's love is perfected in us. And so as we open ourselves, then God's love can work through us. And we can love deeper. I hope that some kind of light has come on to you on this day so that you can open boxes that may not be beautiful on the outside, But when you open them, there is beauty that's beyond measure. Maybe it's the blown kisses of a child, or the hugs of a homeless person, or the encouragement that someone gives you when you sing off key. Let us all be blessing receivers as well as blessing givers as we realize the benefits and the joy that comes when we live like we're dying and we love deeper and we speak sweeter. Would you pray with me? Oh God, turn on the light in our hearts and our minds that we might open ourselves to your great love that will help us to be more patient and kind, will help us to encourage others, will help us to see beyond an exterior that is not beautiful or so talented by the world's expectations. But help us to love. Help us to be patient, to see the good side of people that will eventually be shown. You know the ways each one of us is struggling to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our families, to love rebellious children, to love difficult parents, to love people who are critical. You know, and we cannot do it on our own power. So we surrender ourselves to you and ask you to fill our hearts with your love and help us to love others in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.